It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. It's like being back in Europe, boys, the thick and fast. After the 4-1 defeat against Arsenal, that's all we're going to talk about that game. Our attention to the FA Cup. We're facing Blackburn. It's on Tuesday night under the lights at Ewood Park. But before we jump into everything, here's a little message from our sponsors, Magpin. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. Yep, so as I mentioned, after travelling all the way down to North London and travelling all the way back on Saturday night, now everybody's got to make their way all the way over to the northwest of England, all the way over to Blackburn for a Tuesday night kickoff for Ewood Park against Blackburn. I believe it's live on BBC for everyone in the UK. It's on Viaplay for me, so everybody else. Well, it's on BBC as well, because actually I get BBC One in the Netherlands. So if I want some English commentary, yay, get to watch some English commentary. Not that I don't watch it on IPTV anyway, so whatever. It's 7:45 kickoff. For all you lovely folk in the UK. Blackburn are 16th in the championship, not doing too well. But as we all know, this is the cup. League form flies out the window on that one. Chris, mate, a lot's been said about this cup. This is our last chance at salvaging something for this season. Do you agree?
No, not really, because you've got to look at, we're still in contention of some European spot. We're still in there around the mix. I know there's a little bit of a gap forming now. I think it's around 7 points between us and Man United at the moment. But those below us have got a game in hand as well. But there's still something to play for. Obviously, the result which we saw against Arsenal is a little bit of escape from that coming up. Hopefully, the lads can get a result against Blackburn in the cup, and Blackburn have done pretty well in the cup so far. Some high scoring games in there, but it's just a bit of a fall from grace that you've talked about. It's like playing European games again. Going from the San Siro to Ewood Park, which is fantastic, mind. But I think there's still plenty left to play for this season. Yes, obviously, we're out with the Carabao Cup, which obviously was just won by Liverpool today. But still a long season ahead of us.
Well, it's a year to the day for our final, obviously, in our trip to Wembley. Something to kind of grasp onto for this. Obviously, it is Blackburn and they are League One. Championship opposition. Sorry, Blackburn fans. You're not League One anymore. You did get back into the Championship. But they have lost the last five FA Cup ties against us. And they've lost 7 of the 9 in total FA Cup games against us. So the cards are quite clearly stacked in our favour, Daryl. The last game was a 4-2 home victory for us. I think that was a third round replay in 2018-2019.
So actually, it was down at Blackburn, that one. That was we drew the game 0-0. We drew the home game 1-1 and we went down to Ewood and beat them 4-2. Quite an interesting game from memory. I remember watching it on TV. And we opened the scoring really, really early through Sean Longstaff in the first minute. And then it seemed to like back and forth a bit. Went 2-0 up and then they brought it back to 2-2. And then very quiet second half. And then in injury, well, not injury time, in added time, second half of added time, we started really brightly and got 2 goals in as many minutes through Jose Perez and Hoffman, of all people. So it tells you how long ago it was. We have met them a little bit earlier as well. Our last game against Blackburn was the 1-0 home win in the EFL Cup, and that was back in September of 2020. A 1-0 win for us with their forgotten man, Ryan Fraser, bagging the only goal in that game. And it's funny because I've not really got a lot of detail on the games for this one, but I have looked and I've found some little factoids from Newcastle United in round 5 of the FA Cup in the Prem. Well, I've got the last 10. I know it's the last 10. So in the last, we're unbeaten in the last 8. The last time that we lost, funny enough, was away to Blackburn. And that was back in 92-93. That was a 1-0 loss. And we've played them 2 times since then and won both of those games as well. You know, we seem to do quite well at this point in the competition. Like I say, we've won the last 8 fifth-round fixtures. And we do, you know, we tend to go quite far. Like, we keep going, once we get past this stage as well. So we've had the semi-final in that year, I think, when we got through. And then, you know, going back to the late 90s, you had a semi-final appearance at Wembley in 99-2000, and then obviously the final appearance in 98-99. So it does all add up. And so it's going to be interesting to see how we go into this. And I think it's going to be an exciting game, actually. We've got some demons to get out of that closet after Saturday.
Yeah, it's a funny one, Andy, because obviously with Newcastle, we normally struggle to get out of round 3. But like Daryl says, like if we can get out of round 3, we normally don't do that badly, and we normally get to like a quarter or a semi-final, and that's what you like to see. Just a little bit of a cup run normally galvanizes the fans a little bit when, you know, in seasons gone past, maybe the league form hasn't been the best. You like to think maybe the cups are the one thing we can hold on to. And we saw that last season with the Carabao Cup. That was the thing that kind of, I think maybe has pushed the players on to maybe boost our performance towards the end of the season to get that fourth place finish, which we ended up with. I think they saw that cup run to go, hang on, we want a bit more than just being, you know, mid-table. And it spurred them on a bit to get where they wanted.
Yeah, similar to what Chris said, really. I think you can't just say this is all to play for the season, because otherwise what's the point of us watching any of these other games if all we're caring about is the cup? But yeah, I agree. It was quite hard watching the Carabao Cup final just today, thinking, you know, seeing how happy the fans were, and we were clearly the better team than Man United that season, and we just couldn't do it on that one occasion. So it will be heartbreaking to sort of have another cup where we sort of get nearly there. So I almost would rather we just lost now than got to another final and lost in front of the world's population again.
Andy, I'm still pissed off about that cup final, man. It's a year ago and I'm still pissed off, because I honestly thought we were going into that. We probably were favourites going into it, and do you know what it is? I thought we would have gave them a good run for the money, you know, and took it to them. I thought it was going to be end-to-end and we would have got the better out of Man United, but we just didn't turn up on that day, did we?
Just played them at the wrong time, man, didn't we? Yeah, just played them at the wrong time.
Against Karius.
There's like a 2-week period in the season where they were better than us and we were on a bit of a slump, and we played them then. Yeah. It was just the worst possible time. And then obviously, like, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks later, we played them in the league and absolutely destroyed them. Like, where was this when we were all sat there crying in our expensive Wembley pints? But great opportunity. I'll go into Blackburn a bit more later, but you know, it's nice to get a sort of easy draw, quote unquote, easy draw, when the state of the draws we've had this season. Obviously, we had an easy draw in the last round of the cup, which I keep with Sunderland. I keep forgetting that was actually a cup game. It just felt like they just gave us a derby for the crack just so we could play them.
I'm thinking of your job, Scott. I'm just going to ask you the questions, because obviously the draw was between Blackburn and Wrexham. Would you have preferred Wrexham, or did everybody want to dodge them like a bullet, like I did, because I just didn't want to become a whole spectacle of this Hollywood show that Newcastle are going to be involved
totally,
in?
Totally agree with you there. I would have been shit scared of being the giant killing. I don't want that. We know we've had it before with bloody, you know, BBC will never let us forget bloody Hereford back in the 70s, and that goal just keeps getting mentioned and played every single time it comes about. Probably get played on Tuesday night on BBC. I just didn't want it.
No, thanks. Wrexham are probably a better team than them as well.
I think as long as we don't play a Premier League side, it's always going to be dubbed as a giant killing. I mean, even the last game, obviously the Sunderland Newcastle, you know, history and the derby was played to death as well. But if you're not playing a team in your own league, it's always classed as a giant killing, no matter what. Obviously, the lower
the, in the last round was
the opposition is in the league, it's always like it's amplified even more, but no matter what, obviously Wrexham would have been a lot worse than what this will be. But I can say tomorrow the BBC are probably going to run a half-hour special on Blackburn, on the history. They're going to run a special on Alan Shearer, on what he did for Blackburn and then moving to Newcastle. It's going to happen. And then Chris Sutton's going to be sat in the BBC studios with Alex Scott, probably harping on about how he'd love it if Blackburn beat her. And then it's just going to be all... It's going to be that. And it's fine you expect it, because they are the underdogs, and that's what happens in these sort of things. You've got to take nothing away from them as well for doing that, because, you know, they rightfully are in this to do it. They did it last year. I think Blackburn beat Leicester last season to get to the quarterfinals. They beat them 2-1, I think it was. And everyone was like, the giant killings again, and you expect it to happen. You know, people expect it to happen again this season just for what would happen.
It's much better being the underdog, though, isn't it? It's much better being the underdog going in these sort of games.
Look at PSG.
Exactly, that was going to be an example.
The season, like, everyone ripped off, and we totally took everyone by surprise.
Both home and away with PSG as well. Just look at Ali McCoys. Ali McCoys was absolutely buzzing that Newcastle were keeping PSG out of the game until, obviously, 94th minute, or what was the penalty?
Can we stop going through past traumas? We've already mentioned
it. No,
what's going on?
We're taking a step away from stats and just filling it full of misery.
When Stan Collymore scored Liverpool.
Yeah, right. Well, I tell you what, Andy, talk to us a little bit about Blackburn. What can we expect? Because it's been a while. It has been a while since we've played Blackburn or since we've featured them. It's probably been the Championship season, so it's probably been 7 years. Obviously, apart from that third round replay in the FA Cup. So it's probably been 6-7 years since we last played them. So we're entering the unknown from a fan side of things. So what can we expect?
Well, I think the thing is, Blackburn fans would also say it's a complete unknown. If there's one word to describe Blackburn at the minute, it's chaos. I mean, just in January, they had this story where they thought they'd signed this lad from the MLS. And the Athletic reported that instead of clicking submit form, they clicked save and thought they'd signed him. And then the transfer window passed.
That is true.
There's a chap called Duncan Maguire, who they thought they were signing from Orlando. So they thought, get in, job done. And then the manager at the time, who was obviously John Dal Thomason, was saying, where's my new striker? And they were like, we haven't bought him because of an admin glitch, which is what he said. But then the reports were saying that they clicked the wrong button and all sorts. So, yeah, so that manager's
I'm sure I've done that on Football Manager before, you know, where you click next. And it's like, well, where's my player on the bench? It's like, you scroll through and it's like, why didn't that confirm button? I'm sure I clicked that button. What's happened there?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, they couldn't save scum and get it back. So they messed that up. The manager left it a bit of a blaze of glory and said, the owners promised me X, Y, and Z. And it didn't happen. So they've got this guy now, John Eustace. And he's the chap who was sacked by Birmingham to get Rooney in, which obviously went really, really well. But he had Birmingham up in sixth. So I think there's a little bit of hope that the owners have maybe made a good decision, but reading the comments and looking up some stuff online on Blackburn, the fans are just kind of very similar to how we were under Ashley, where it's like, what's the point of doing this anymore? We were, you know, a bit of a fallen giant. We've obviously had the heights, and now we're just floating around in the doldrums, not really doing anything. They were one of the 12 founding members of the Football League as well, which I didn't realise. So they've had a right fall from grace. Just sold their star player, Adam Wharton, to Crystal Palace. in January. Young lad, his brother still plays for them in defence. And just some thoughts on the Venkies, because you might not realise they still own them somehow. Wow. Do you remember the advert? Do you remember the chicken advert they released?
Chicken advert, like, in the dressing room.
With like Richard Dunn and that. Like, yeah. If you need to just sum up how bad the Venkies are, just watch that. But yeah, absolute shambles, really. They had this whole issue with this player they were meant to sign. They've sold the best player. It's basically, for them at the minute, it's just rubbish. But it's like you said,
it's been going ongoing saga, hasn't it, with them and the Venkies? Like you said, similar to what we went through, Ashley.
There was another story I saw where apparently one of their owners turned up in 2013 and he got attacked by a snowball. Well, someone threw a snowball at him, not attacked by a snowball. The snowball came to life and attacked him.
Snowball came alive. Oh, God.
Someone threw a snowball at him and he's never been back since, apparently. That just sums it up, really. So they're a bit of a shambles. It's a real shame because obviously we've got the connection with Blackburn and I have managed Blackburn on Football Manager, and I can tell you the owners are rubbish. So so I think they'll just, similar to what we were saying about Bournemouth the other week, I think they'll just see this as a free hit. Let's sort of just sack the home form off. We'll go and try and do a giant kill and get the place rocking. And there might be almost a bit of a window into the past for them to see, like, you know, can we compete in a big game again against Premier League big boys? Nothing to lose, really, is there?
I seem to remember, didn't they do the double against us in the Championship in our promotion?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And they took 6 points from us
for that game. Horrible.
Because I remember I was on holiday in the summer of that, and some bloke comes up and says, like, "Chess with the 6 points." And I was like, "You still got relegated? What? Like, you've got relegated? Like, what's the..."
we love doing that, don't we? Like, getting hammered by teams who would get relegated. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned.
I think the thing is, well, what goes in our favour as well is that the fact that they're not even selling out the grounds these days. Under Mike Ashley, obviously, apart from the season where we give 10,000 season tickets away, which people love throwing back in their faces. Like, but I'm sure they're only half filling the stadium these days, which really means, obviously, when we go down, we're taking 7,000-8,000 fans. It's 7, quite a lot, isn't it? There we go. So 7,000 fans. It's going to be like
home. And there's one away pub.
Yeah.
All right.
when I was trying to find the injuries, because I clicked on 7 different websites and they all had different listings, I went on the Blackburn Rovers website and a pop-up came up as soon as I clicked on the site with tickets are still available in the home end for. Yeah. And it's like,
I think that averaging about 15,000 at the minute.
It's not selling out. It's funny you mentioned Andy Bottle's adverts. That is one thing we can give Ashley credit for. We didn't see like Matt Ritchie in a Sports Direct uniform doing a Sports Direct advert. So,
the giant mug.
You know, if anything, the current owner's got, you know, Isak doing an Adidas advert. Do you know what I mean? Like that's with the goals advert. So, you know, we can thank Ashley. He didn't get any of the players in for there. I mentioned injuries. The only two I could find was Ryan Hedges, who had only just come back. I think he lasted 15 minutes at the weekend and had to come off. He's going for a scan. They're touch and go. Apparently, he's one of their top goal scorers.
Yeah,
he's come back from a bad hamstring injury. But like I say, he went off. He's done a Joe Willock, came back, got injured, and went off again. And then the other one was John Buckley, who I think's been on for a little while. It's got nothing to play in them. Again, I don't know who Buckley is. I apologise for that. But yeah, from our side, I don't think we came out of the game at the weekend with any fresh worries. Dubravka was obviously the surprise. He was ill, although I think tinfoil hat. I personally think that was a 12-month, you've got to play one game in 12 months to keep your work permit for Karius thing myself personally.
Surely so if that was we'll the case, then Dubravka would just be on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that like to save Dubravka's ego, but that he's not been dropped?
Give him a rest. Boyle had away, mate. You absolute maniac. Absolute there maniac.
But it was good to see Joe Willock back, Chris. Obviously, when was it? It was last night, wasn't it? God, I've blocked it out of my brain. It was such a bad performance. But is this the sort of game where you get a bit more minutes out of Joe Willock? Maybe he's not starting, but maybe he's give him, you know, you had, 20 minutes last night? Maybe just look at giving him a 30-minute or even a full half if we're winning the game quite comfortably.
I think you only risk him if we're in a business where we may need him. I think if we're winning the game, probably won't even bring him on. I think it's one of those things. But yes, he probably does need minutes under his belt, but we've seen it with Joe Willock before. He's a fantastic player, but he does have these sort of injuries where he'll just not necessarily rush back because he's been obviously out for a little while now, but prior to that when his first game back was Dortmund, I believe, which was a shock when he appeared against Dortmund. But I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't risk him because I think so far in the season and at this point in the season, we've got to be very clever what we do with these players. If we force them back and give them more minutes than which are crucial to us as a football club and our performance and our results, then what's the point? Like honestly, there's no point at this moment in time. Yes, if we're in a position where we have to take that risk, I'm all for it. I'd be more inclined to think of what would happen with the youngsters because we saw already how they'll obviously play a couple of young'uns over the last few games, whether or not they get a start. I think Karius will start as well. I think Karius will get the run out role in Dubravka because, albeit, yes, was conceded four goals against Arsenal, he wasn't at fault for any of them and he made a couple of decent saves.
All right.
Yeah, so I think Karius will start. But yeah, with Willock, there's no point rushing players back. No point whatsoever.
Yeah. Daryl, mate, obviously the other question of a player coming back at the weekend was Isak. We did see him come off, and obviously you wouldn't know this because you were at the game, but the commentators, it looked like Isak wasn't the original plan of being the substitute, and it was Gordon originally coming off.
Right.
And then it changed to Isak pretty quickly. And it was after Isak had switched with Gordon to go out on the wing. Obviously, we're not reading anything into that with an injury or anything, but would you see Isak just starting again and maybe he's getting another 60, 70 minutes? Do you think the plan all along was maybe to give Isak an hour and then pull him? And it was just the commentators getting that sort of thing wrong on the TV. What would you do? Would you just start him again and just keep him going as he has been?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Yeah, I think so because you know we've mentioned in the last few weeks now that you know the presence of Isak in the side is crucial to how we're you know if we're going to have a meaningful attack then we desperately need to have some form of recognised striker in the ranks, especially when we're playing games like this where we're going to need to you know get some goals in the bag early on. And like you say, give him another hour, just give him another hour, see how he goes. Maybe he can get a goal in him and then you know, we can hook him off and get him rested. And again, you know, Chris mentioned it there with the Joe Willock thing as well. Again, it's just, it's bringing these lads back into the fold and getting them back up to speed properly as well. And obviously we know Joe Willock's injury was a little bit more severe. And I definitely agree with wrapping him up in cotton wool to a point in terms of just gently easing him back into like playing and match fitness. But yeah, Alex, Isak, just give him an hour and then bring him off. Yeah.
Yeah, Andy, mate, obviously the big debate is the Dan Burn, Tino Livramento, who starts, who doesn't start. Mm. Obviously,
I've not heard that one before. What's that about?
I'm not going to get into it, mate. We haven't got that much time left. I'd be here all night. It's Sunday. but, you know, Tino didn't do too badly against Saka. You know, he kept up with them on pace. Obviously, this is going to be a completely different game on Tuesday. But obviously, when Burn came on, he got an assist, did clear a ball off the line. He didn't do too badly himself when he came off. Is it looking more like Burn is probably going to be a better impact sub when those players maybe is tiring a bit? You know, obviously, we kind of take much from it. But,
you're actually going down that line, sub?
That's a reach.
Is that a reach?
I mean, he literally was an impact sub against Arsenal. Yeah. So
I'm asking the questions. I'm not making the statements.
Would I ever heard that sentence ever. But this is what we do. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm asking the questions.
We really should worry if Eddie Howe's saying to Burn, like, right, get yourself on there and use your pace. Like 60 minutes in.
I cleared a ball off the line after getting done on the wing.
Ended up on the line?
Exactly. That's what I've just said.
Let's not. No, I mean, all that kind of worms.
would you just play it as it was at the weekend, or would you switch it back up? Or, like Chris said with the youngsters, would you give Hall a start and then, you know, waste the 30 million that he's looking to spend and play that one game that's going to make that transfer permanent? What would you do? Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we ignore all the weird contract stuff with Hall, which apparently is a thing, how we don't really like. Yeah, exactly.
I'll get the tin hat out.
Pass the tin hat down. Then, yeah, there's some thought that Howe really doesn't rate him and he doesn't even want to trigger his very easy to trigger permanent option, apparently. So I don't really get that. But if that wasn't a thing, I'd be saying start Hall. It's a perfect opportunity for him, really. I felt sorry for Livramento because obviously he'll have been chomping at the bit to get in ahead of Byrne. And then he gets in and he has to go against one of the best 1v1 wingers in the world in Saka. Mm. So it's like, and obviously one of the problems Burns had is that he's had no support on that left-hand side. And Livermore's just had the same issue, really. I think he did all right. And I do think he's the future at fullback, but probably as a right back. I think that was always the plan with Tino. So yeah, I'd like to get Hall in there. Wouldn't mind seeing Lascelles get some game time. We might get, you know, Crafton Dummett at the back again. You never know. Obviously worked really well when we did it against Man United away in the Cup. So yeah, opportunities for people. I think when the young ones have come on, they've looked all right. And we've just seen, again, not to bring it up again, with Liverpool and the Carabao, you can back youth and they can do a job for you. It's just really how well coached those young ones are with what Eddie Howe wants them to do. Because obviously we know he asks for an awful lot. And just piggybacking onto Daryl's point, I agree about Isak. I think if you're going to play young uns, you need some kind of quality, experienced player up front. Experience, well, he's only like 22 himself, isn't he? But yeah, so it depends on the balance of the team. Like if we're playing, you know, a decent front three, then yeah, play Hall or play young un. But if you're going for youth in a midfielder at the back, then you need those top players up front. Because I do think with the way we're playing at the moment, we're having to score two or three goals a game to get a result. And even then, it's sometimes not enough. So I think we've just got to be positive and, you know, not rest everyone.
Having said that, though, you wouldn't be shocked to see it revert back to what it was like when both strikers were injured and see Gordon up top and somebody like Barnes on the left, Almirón or Murphy on the right. You wouldn't be shocked to see that, depending on where Isak is at. Then using Isak as similar to Dan Byrne, as it? later on in the game.
Miggy didn't look 100% against Arsenal. No. Like it just didn't look like he was running fluidly at all. So I don't know if there's something there with Miggy. I don't know. We're recording this obviously before Eddie Howe's press conference, as we always do. So, you know, something might, well, I say something might come out of that. Who knows the Eddie Howe press conference? Well, I mean, you could say Miggy's, you know, 100% and then he's out for 3 months. So we'll see what happens there. One thing I will say about the youth, obviously, with the quick turnaround of this and the way we know Eddie Howe trains the players, he won't have had time to maybe train those youth players, like you've said, Andy, to get up to speed for what he wants in this game. So I think if any youth players are starting, you're going to be looking at the likes of Miley, maybe Hall at a push, you know, obviously Tino, who is also a youth player realistically, but he is a first team player. So I don't think any of them will start unless they've been training week in, week out with, I don't know if any of them have been to any extent and then not feature for the youth team.
Possibly Joe White
as well.
Joe White obviously featured against
Joe White
well.
Maybe is a shout. And it may come down to if Eddie Howe wants to rest any of the first team players for, is it Wolves next in the league? It's Wolves, right? Yeah, we've got Wolves at the weekend, which is a big game because, you know, they're one of those teams in around that little mini league that's starting to form for that sixth, seventh
they
place.
They won today as well.
And they did win today, so we'll see what happens. It'll be a fun one to watch. Like I say, it's on BBC, so everyone will be able to watch it, which will be nice. I believe everybody in the group chat is going down.
I think everybody in the world is going down.
There's a car full. I'm not. I'm not going. I haven't got any loyalty points, so I'm not going.
Be an expensive trip for you to go to Blackburn.
I mean, I did it last season for the final, even though I didn't have a ticket. But it's totally different. I'll wait for the final. I'll fly over for then. Boys, we'll move on to our predictions. Obviously, tough one to predict as an FA Cup fifth round against a Championship side or a lower league side.
Hang on a second, we've got Ref Watch. We've got Ref Watch.
Oh, yes.
This is the only one that's like...
I can't make my prediction without Ref Watch.
Hey.
How are we, Daz Moore?
Right.
Which ref are we watching this week?
Is he bald or has he got hair?
He's got hair.
That's all that matters.
Usually means he's a ref.
We have... For this game, we've got Jared Gillett, who obviously, as we know, is a native Aussie. Used to referee in the A-League there's a very famous clip doing the rounds on socials where he has conversations with VAR and you can actually hear him. Normally, well, at present, we don't hear the conversation between referees and officials live in game, but over in Australia, their rules are slightly different, so you can. And there's a very famous clip from about 3 or 4 years ago now.
Yeah,
when he was in Australia, and you can hear everything going on. Very eye-opening. It was something that really advocated the use of VAR. Anyway, this isn't a VAR thing. So his third game of the season, this one, and he's already, sorry, for, with Newcastle United in it, and we've already seen him, sadly, as we went out of the FA Cup to today's runners-up Chelsea. Not the FA Cup, the EFL Cup to today's runners-up Chelsea. But in the last round, in round four down at Fulham, we had him, so he's got a win in the bag as well. Season stats for the man, he's got 18 games in all competitions, 80 yellow cards and 3 reds.
He's brutal. He's finally getting his ban.
Well, does count in the FA Cup?
I don't know.
But he's not banned yet.
One of these questions where we always get asked and we don't know, and there's always somebody that'll send either a DM or a comment saying, you were wrong about this. Like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
We need to, need to set an email address up, Chris. You were wrong at GallagherChats.com.
Yeah. Use a hashtag. Hashtag you were wrong at GS. I think if Bruno had picked up his yellow card in the Arsenal game, then he wouldn't have missed this game. Because somebody DM'd with that, he wouldn't have missed this game. Then his two-game ban would just be for Premier League games. So your guess is as good as ours.
No idea. Find out in the first 5 minutes when Bruno two-footer.
He's been mid, man. He's been mid recently. Like, for a player that was always destined to get a yellow card, he's controlled that emotion, that anger a little bit. I think he was very lucky against Arsenal, mate. I think he could have easily picked up a yellow there. But he's still, was it 6 games in a row now we've been expecting this yellow card to come?
And he's dodged I think he's got another 8 to go before it wipes out as well.
He's got full Gary Lineker.
Oh, well.
Was there any more, Daryl? I don't know.
No, that's it. That was
we interrupted you there. That's all. That's it for Ref Watch. Until next week. That's a wrap.
I love Ref Watch, mate. Like, it's my favorite thing on this channel.
We've made an intro and everything for it. There'll be a graphic popping up on your screen. For those listening on audio, go back and watch it on YouTube because there's a graphic and everything. Because it's well worth it. There's no sound for it yet, but we'll get Daryl to record something. He can sing and dance. I'll put that up as well on the screen. That'll come up on screen. That's worth the subscription price alone, even though it's free to subscribe. Right, we'll now come to our predictions because Ref Watch is over. Chris, mate, what is your prediction for this one?
I think this will be a tough one to watch. But for the opposite reasons, what we saw against Arsenal, I think we'll be knocking on the door, but I think we might struggle to put it in the back of the net. I'm going to go with a scrappy 2-1 to Newcastle United.
Okay. Andy, mate.
Well, these lot have only kept 3 clean sheets all season. They concede 1.63 goals a game, according to the internet. So I think we are going to score. I think we'll go pretty.
0.36 of a goal.
It's a new rule.
Stats.
Jared Gillett brought it in from Australia. I think we'll score. I think the issue is obviously just the other end at the minute. They've got this chap Sammy Smodics, who's got 10 goals this year. So they can score. And we're so weak at the moment that I can just picture it already. And like we were saying before, I can see the BBC getting really excited about it. But I think we'll go strong up front. So I think we'll get 3 or 4, but we'll concede 2 in the other end. So I'm going to just go, it's going to be a ridiculous game, 4-2 win.
Daryl, please make it easy.
I'll try. Well, actually, I'm not, because we have to remember that there has to be a result achieved on the night. And it'll go straight extra time and penalties if required, if we can't get it done in 90 minutes because there's no replays. But no, I think I'm going to go 3-1. 3-1 to Newcastle. Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. I think we'll do a clean sheet. Even though what Andy said, I'm just going to totally contradict what he said. I think we'll do a clean sheet. I think just for Karius, I would like to see Karius have a clean sheet because I don't think he's had one since 2018.
You want to keep Botman away from that team sheet as well.
I think I'm going to go 3-0. I think we'll score a ton of goals. Well, three of them. That's a 3-0. I think we need to get Isak on the score sheet as well, because I think he's looked a bit off the pace just coming back from an injury. I think, but once he gets one, I think he'll get a couple. But I think Isak.
When's Dan Byrne coming on for you, Scott, to make his impact?
Dan Byrne will come on in the 69th minute.
Right.
Head one in to make it 4-2. I think it'll be Isak, Gordon, and then Dan Byrne, last minute goal. Oh, yeah. There you go. Happy with that, Andy?
Aye, scored in the last round. Why not? Good.
Exactly. One goal up until the final, and then he's going to score the winner.
Scream at that, wasn't it?
All right.
Boys, anybody want to add anything before we wrap this one up?
Yes, I do.
You know what is? Oh, sorry. I like that one.
sorry, Chris.
Are you going to dance, are you?
No.
You're going to dance.
I'm going to just build on something that Andy mentioned earlier when he was talking about the owners. And I think I saw it on Instagram last week. They've got a little plan. I think we might see something on Tuesday night.
Oh, they're launching tennis balls, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to tennis balls.
These Sky Sports tennis adverts are doing me. I didn't like. They need to stop.
I think in the 12th minute or something for 12 years. I don't know what. I think it was 12th minute. Anyway, to mark the amount of time that the Venkies have owned the club, I think. So bring your tennis balls, boys and girls. Get involved.
Will it be like the paper plane ones at St. James's? Do you remember that? Where two paper planes hit the pitch.
God, like the amount of things that you've got to take to a football match. And these days, obviously, you've got to bring your ticket. You've got to make sure you've got ID with you. And now you've got to bring tennis balls as well. Jesus Christ.
It'll be your phone in case it runs out. You can get through.
What I was going to add is
that John Dale Thomason's not in charge. Because I was hoping for like a little...
Yeah, I thought it would have been nice to with him still be in charge, but oh well.
Yeah, it is what it is with that, man. I just, the thing which I'm slightly worried about is, excuse me, we're getting players back to fitness now, back from injury. I'm just, I don't know what it is. It's probably the depressing side of his way. I'm just thinking, just don't get any injuries. Just no key players injured. Because it's one of those games where we saw it against Sunderland, where Joe Linton just gets injured off a daft little push, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
you hope that you get through this game with the result and also with a full fit squad.
People are health.
That's exactly what we need at the minute, because you can just see it coming. It's typical Newcastle United this season, where we'll get a result, but then there'll be an injury to somebody. Like, it'll be ridiculous. But fingers crossed, I'm completely wrong.
It'd be Isak up Darryl's FIFA Club celebration. But he'll actually be injured.
Who did that? Was it Granit Xhaka did that the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did.
Did you see that? Yeah.
He had Javi Alonso win special. Having kittens because he thought he was genuinely injured.
Oh, what a freak. What an absolute freak.
It was the physio who was worried. The physio ran up. I saw that, yeah. Right, boys, we'll wrap this one up. Thanks very much for spending your Sunday evening with me. And thanks you for watching or listening, if you're listening on the audio. If you're watching this on YouTube, just scroll down and hit the thumbs up. That's all we ask for. And while you're down there, hit the little subscribe button to become a subscriber to the channel. And hit the notification bell if you'd like to be notified when new videos go live on the channel. If you want to go one step further, you can become a member. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos, exclusive access to other videos, as well as access to the Telegram and the Discord server. We're looking to get a Helldivers group set up so we can play some Helldivers with members, because a lot of we've got that game and it seems to be the in thing at the moment. So we're trying to get some bug killing going on between everybody and the members group.
But you weren't expecting this from a Newcastle podcast, were you?
Exactly. If you're listening on the audio, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. That's all we ask. That gets us in up those charts on Spotify, Apple Music, Google, whatever it's called these days on Google, and all the other ones, because there's too many podcast charts. But 5 stars, 5 Spotify S's, whatever they're called, just give us a 5 rating. Unless it's out of 10, then give us a 10. The maximum, please.
Full marks, please. Full marks.
Full marks, please. And leave us a comment below what your prediction will be and how you think the game will go on the YouTube channel, on the YouTube video. Thanks very much. Boys, thanks for this one. It's been fun. Go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I think Daryl and Chris are going to go and play some FIFA clubs. I'm going to go and, I don't know, watch the telly or something. Andy, enjoy your water and your Stormtrooper bottle, mate.
Cheers.
We will see you all in the next one. Have a good one. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.